Responsive reading is from Luke 1:68-79 on page 208 in the Methodist Hymnal. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has come to set the chosen people free. The Lord has raised up for us a mighty Savior from the house of David. Through the holy prophets, God promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us, to show mercy to our forebears, and to remember the holy covenant. This was the oath God swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship without fear, holy and righteous in the Lord's sight all the days of our life. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way, to give God's people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of praise.
Our second reading this morning comes from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah 23, verses 1 through 6. You can find this in the Hebrew Bible of your pew Bible, the Old Testament, on page 681. So if you'd like to turn there, you can follow along. This is God's words through the prophet Jeremiah. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people. It is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them. And I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We turn to the epistle. We find the letter of Paul to the Colossians. Colossians 1:11-20. You can find this in the New Testament of your pew Bible on page 188. We talk about this a lot in the Bible study. It's easy to think about this as a letter from Paul to an earlier church, but hear it also as a word from God to us in the church of the 21st century as well. Hear these words. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So too, fast is the turning of the calendar. So I want us to move quickly into thinking about the other end of the spectrum. This is a difficult passage, but it's one we have to hold in our hearts as we enter toward Advent. So if you would turn to Luke chapter 23, verses 33 through 43. It's on page 83 of your New Testament. Not a story we think of for November. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus. There with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, maybe the lectionary doesn't make sense, so maybe it needs a little bit of explanation. As you know now, and probably knew as you came in this morning, today is Christ the King Sunday, and it's also Thanksgiving Sunday. As it turns out, as I mentioned earlier, next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent, and in the calendar of the church, it's the first Sunday of the liturgical year. So that makes today the last Sunday of the year. And as such, I think it's a fitting time to look backward, but also to look forward. So as we look into the past and into the future, I want you to consider a way of fully incorporating the Word of God into your Advent and into your life. So that, as Paul says, Jesus might come to have first place in everything. So how is it that Jesus can have first place in everything when it comes to Advent and the onrushing Christmas season? It just struck me as I was driving this week, Friday. I don't know if you listen to the Easy Listening Channel 101 on the radio. Friday, they began their 24-hour Christmas music already. Well, to think about Advent, I think we ought to start with Scripture, which is always the best place to start. When you think about Scripture, we realize that the entire Hebrew Bible points us in the direction of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Case in point, this prophecy from Jeremiah. Jeremiah tells us that God is coming back to take care of God's chosen people. To focus our thinking, let me call your attention to two images that Jeremiah uses. First of all, God points out that the shepherds who have been leading the chosen people, those shepherds were doing a terrible job. God promises them that there will be new shepherds who will lead the people in righteousness to salvation. In the New Testament, Jesus often refers to himself as the Good Shepherd, echoing this promise from God from hundreds of years earlier. In Jeremiah, God also promises the people that God will provide a new leader. I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. When you think about what you know of the Christmas story of Jesus' birth, does the house of David ring a bell for you? Let us turn to the first reading from Luke that we used in place of our usual psalm reading. As you may well remember, this is the song of Zechariah, who is in fact the father of John the Baptist. I don't know if you noticed that this morning. This song is called in Latin the Benedictus, which means blessed be. Now, let me just refresh your memory of that story. If you think about it, Zechariah was a high priest. He was in the holiest of holies in the temple. And one day while he was in there, an angel of God came to him, the angel Gabriel. Now, Zechariah and his wife were very old. They had no children, but the angel said, Zechariah, I'm going to give to you a son, and you will name that son John. Now, Zechariah didn't quite laugh in his face, but he didn't believe the prophecy. So Gabriel said, you're not listening, and so I'm going to make you mute. The angel Gabriel said to Zechariah, you won't talk until your son is born, and we will be proven true. So literally, he couldn't talk until his son was born. And when that happened, Zechariah could speak, and he praised God to all who would listen. In fact, Scripture says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he sang this wonderful song, the Song of Zechariah, or the Benedictus. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Zechariah tells us that the prophecies of the entire Hebrew Bible are being fulfilled. God has brought a Savior from the house of David who would be Jesus Christ. Zechariah also tells his son at the occasion of his birth that he would play a crucial role. He says, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. The next few weeks, we'll be reading the story of John the Baptist. So as we enter into this season of Advent next Sunday, we will anticipate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus of Nazareth. Now, as we've seen in these scripture passages, all of the Hebrew Bible prophecies were being fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. And in this season of Thanksgiving, we rightly ought to give thanks to God for providing for us and for all people this amazing Savior who has taken away the power of sin and death. So perhaps a little more practically, how can we move through this Christmas season in a way that reflects our knowledge that Christ is King and that Christ has first place in everything? Well, let me make for you a suggestion. Let us take seriously this call to radical hospitality, this call to gratitude that Christian people ought to have. Well, what does that mean? What am I talking about? What I think it means is that we need to back away from our social obligations and we need to truly consider what giving and receiving actually means to a Christian individual. Let me ask you a hypothetical situation. When somebody sends you a Christmas card or gives you a gift, what is the first thing that comes to mind? Well, for many of us, it might be, did I send them a card?
Yeah.
Or, great, now I have to get them a gift. Have you ever felt like that? Be honest with yourself. Do you feel this kind of societal pressure?
No.
This obligation to reciprocate? Some Scrooges don't. I'm kidding. I think we all do. I think we all get into that tit-for-tat kind of feeling. But think about this. When somebody did something nice for Jesus, did he get all concerned about how he would repay them? No, not at all. Think of the stories you know from the Bible. When Jesus healed someone of a physical affliction, or when he took away someone's sin, did he expect something in return other than gratitude and repentance? No, not at all. Jesus practiced radical hospitality, but he also practiced gratitude when someone offered him something, and he practiced God's grace when he gave someone else a gift. We ought to send a Christmas card because we want to offer our greetings and get in touch with someone we love, period. When someone gives us a gift, we ought to say thank you, period. If there is someone who means something to you and you want to give them a gift to express your love, then by all means, give them a gift, period. If Jesus truly has first place in everything, then perhaps this is the best course of action this Christmas. Think about it. But on a much larger scale, how do we incorporate the Word of God? How do you incorporate the Word of God into your entire life so that Jesus might come to have first place in everything? Now, I believe that this is a lifelong quest of a Christian. When somebody truly knows herself or himself as a child of God and as a disciple of Jesus Christ, that person will make Jesus number one in her or his life. Think about that. Jesus would take the highest priority in your life, more important than your nationality, more important than your children or your parents, more important than your spouse or your partner, more important than anything in your life. Now, hear me out. I'm not saying that God doesn't want you to love all those important people in your life. God does want you to honor your family in everything you do. But God also wants that you will trust in Jesus completely, that you will love Jesus with every fiber of your being, that you will be totally committed to serving Jesus in your life. Consider this and pray about it. If you truly believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, if you take seriously the fact that Christ is King, then this is what that means. So I was thinking about what that means. I was drawn to a line from Philippians. Philippians 4:13. It goes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Have you heard that passage? In light of what I just said about making Jesus the number one influence in your life, I think that this line from Philippians can serve as an anthem, an anchor in your life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now think about it. There really are at least two meanings. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. First, it means that Christ so strengthens you, so builds you up, that you are capable of more than you can even imagine. With God, all things are possible. But it also means this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because Christ has given you such strength, everything you do, everything that you choose to do in your life will have new meaning when you commit it to Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hear these words again. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created for him, through him, and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Jesus Christ is King, our Lord and Savior. Let us be thankful always. Amen.